In 1982, Anthony Ettinger, a member of the private discussion group called the Council on Foreign Relations, asked an audience of communication executives this question: do we really have to have everybody literate, writing and reading in the traditional sense, when we have the means through our technology to achieve a new flowering of oral communication? Ettinger suggested our idea of literacy is obsolete. 83 years earlier, John Dewey had written in The Primary Education Fetish that the plea for the predominance of learning to read in early school life because of the great importance attaching to literature seems to be a perversion, close quote. For the balance of this discussion, I'm going to step into deeper water, first reviewing what reading in a Western alphabet really means and what makes it a reasonably easy skill to transmit or to self-teach, and then tackling what happened to deprive the ordinary person of the ability to manage it very well. I want to first show you how, then answer the more speculative question, why. The National Adult Literacy Survey represents 190 million U.S. adults over age 16 with average school attendance of 12.4 years. The survey is conducted by the Educational Testing Service of Princeton, New Jersey. It ranks adult Americans into five levels. Here is its 1993 analysis. 42 million Americans over the age of 16 can't read. Some of this group can write their names on Social Security cards and fill in height, weight, and birth spaces on application forms. 50 million can recognize printed words on a fourth and fifth grade level. They cannot write simple messages or letters. 55 to 60 million are limited to 6th, 7th, and 8th grade reading. A majority of this group could not figure out the price per ounce of peanut butter in a 20-ounce jar costing $1.99 when they could round the answer off to a whole number. 30 million have 9th and 10th grade reading proficiency. This group, at all preceding, cannot understand a simplified written explanation of the procedures used by attorneys and judges in selecting juries. About 3.5% of the 26,000-member sample demonstrated literacy skills adequate to do traditional college study, a level 30% of all U.S. high school students reached in 1940, and which 30% of secondary students in other developed countries can reach today. This last fact alone should warn you how misleading comparisons drawn from international student competitions really are, since the samples each country sends are small elite ones, unrepresentative of the entire student population. But behind the bogus superiority, a real one is concealed. 96.5% of the American population is mediocre to illiterate where deciphering print is concerned. This is no commentary on their intelligence, but without ability to take in primary information from print and to interpret it, they are at the mercy of commentators who tell them what things mean. A working definition of immaturity might include an excessive need for other people to interpret information for us. Certainly it's possible to argue that bad readers aren't victims at all, but perpetrators, cursed by their inferior biology to possess only shadows of intellect. That's what bell curve theory, evolutionary theory, aristocratic social theory, eugenics theory, strong state political theory, and some other kinds of theology are about. All agree most of us are inferior, if not downright dangerous. The integrity of such theoretical outlooks, at least where reading was concerned, took a stiff shot on the chin from America. Here, democratic practice allowed a revolutionary generation to learn how to read. Those granted the opportunity took advantage of it brilliantly.